From Odyssey, I'm Lauren Berry, and this is the On Deadline podcast, where you get a deeper dive into stories from our radio newsrooms across the nation. Today on Deadline is examining President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet picks as he continues to round out his administration 2 months before his inauguration. Trump is moving at an almost unprecedented speed to sign up his intended leadership team. These quickfire decisions have ranged from expected moves to others that have left jaws in Washington, D.C. dropped in shock. Listeners, you probably know what I'm talking about. I mean, nobody had Attorney General Matt Gaetz on their bingo card. It looks like the president-elect wants to put several of his loyalists and those closest to him in key positions, which is similar to the way he operated in 2016, when he put his daughter Ivanka and her husband Jared Kushner in key positions. This time around, Ivanka and Jared are nowhere to be seen. His campaign chair and friend, Susie Wiles, has been named his chief of staff. Senator Marco Rubio is being tapped for Secretary of State. And Representative Elise Stefanik is his choice for the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations. Among his possibly less obvious choices was the pick of former Democrat and independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to be the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services. You've probably heard us talk about RFK Jr. before. He's made unlikely headlines for killing a bear and discarding it in Central Park, claiming various conspiracy theories, and a revelation that he once said in a court filing that a worm had eaten part of his brain. If he's approved by the Senate, RFK Jr. would be responsible for the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, the Office of the Surgeon General, the SAMHSA, and more as the head of the HHS. RFK Jr. has already courted considerable controversy, particularly over his anti-vaccine arguments. Some are wondering if he's the best person to hold this job. Jonathan Cohn, a senior national correspondent at HuffPost and author of The 10-Year War, Obamacare, and the Unfinished Crusade for Universal Coverage, joined Odyssey to share why RFK Jr.'s nomination might be concerning.
So tell us more about what public figures and heads of other health organizations have been saying about this nomination.
Well, I think it would be fair to characterize this as a mix of shock, indignation, and condemnation. The sort of through line of RFK's career is a sort of profound contempt for science and scientists. And that has led him to, take up all kinds of positions. In your lead-in earlier, I heard you mention his critiques of fluoridation, which has, prevented a dental disease and is widely understood to be a great public health advance. And then, of course, there are his position on vaccinations, both in the context of COVID, but going back further, him being someone, to call him a vaccine skeptic, which I sometimes have heard, is a bit of an understatement. He has made wild, unsubstantiated claims suggesting that we should, that we should not be vaccinating so many people. And again, in the history of human history, vaccination is one of the great public victories of our time, but one that, we could backslide on. And in fact, there are real life examples where we've had lower vaccination rates in places and diseases like the measles have come back.
It seems that RFK Jr.'s main concern about vaccinations is that he claims there is evidence that the vaccinations are related to autism, increasing autism rates. Is there any evidence, any scientific evidence to back that up?
There is not. There was at one point early years and years ago, there were some studies on this. There was some suspicion on this. But this has been studied extensively since then, and the evidence overwhelmingly shows that vaccines are safe and that there is no link to autism. His case is based on a number of unsubstantiated facts, incorrect conclusions, some of them about autism itself and how and whether there's been an increase and why, and some of them about the links to vaccines. I think it's very important to remember this sort of key cornerstone study that was the basis for this claim originally was retracted. It is not considered scientifically valid to say there is a link between vaccines and autism.
And in the last 30 seconds that we have, what regulations might be pulled back? Already there is tremendous opposition to any altering of the vaccination program in the U.S., but what regulations might we see changed if RFK is in fact confirmed?
Well, I mean, there's a whole, I mean, the HHS is a massive department. It's literally the largest cabinet department in the federal government, just going by its budget. Its regulations cover everything in healthcare, from what insurance will cover to what, you know, the workings of the Food and Drug Administration, which approves drugs. And so I think, you know, the concern here is that in all kinds of small, hard to follow ways, he could change the way we approve drugs, that we issue safety guidelines, that we pay for medical care, and produce a world where, you know, there is less faith in these treatments and these cures that we know work and save lives.
As we mentioned before, another eyebrow-raising pick from Trump is his selection for Attorney General, Florida Representative Matt Gaetz. If his name sounds familiar, it may be for a couple of reasons. Gaetz was the representative who led a holdout in 2023 when Republicans in the House of Representatives were working to elect Kevin McCarthy as the Speaker of the House. He was also at the center of a Justice Department investigation and a House Ethics Committee probe into allegations that he had a sexual relationship with a minor. Since Trump selected Gaetz to lead the Justice Department, Gaetz resigned from Congress, and more information came out about those allegations. A lawyer representing two women who spoke before the House Ethics Committee told ABC News that one of his clients told the committee she saw Gaetz having sex with a minor. House Speaker Mike Johnson has also come forward recommending that the report from the committee not be released. An NBC News report cited sources familiar with the mood in the Senate who said that more than half of Senate Republicans don't see a path forward for Gaetz. Apparently, he's an unpopular guy there behind the scenes for his brash manner and allegedly low morals. KCBS political analyst Mark Sandalow shared more on what Trump's pick of Gaetz might mean for Republicans.
The Ethics Committee report could be released as early as tomorrow, and what do we think might be in there?
Right, and if it's not officially released, it's hard to imagine a body like Congress and the House of Representatives. It won't be leaked somehow. So these are the same charges that the Justice Department looked into and declined to file charges. I mean, this has to do with, you know, this is private life. This is Matt Gaetz allegedly going to parties where there were young women, some of whom were underaged, who were essentially escorts, prostitutes, and some of them just, you know, perhaps naive, and lots of drugs. And that Matt Gaetz was involved in not only with one of the women in particular who was 17, but even drove her to another location that was across state lines, which, you know, could be seen as transporting, you know, a minor for illegal purposes. These are humiliating and devastating charges. Like I say, the Justice Department looked into it and they didn't say he was innocent, but it also didn't. It said that there was essentially not sufficient evidence for them to conduct a prosecution. But the House Ethics Committee started looking into this because it's a totally different standard. I mean, one, you have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that somebody committed a crime if you're going to file charges against them. The House Ethics Committee simply would look into whether or not there was untoward behavior. And, you know, that could be the reasons for members of the House to expel the member. So this has all led to this crazy speculation where some people think that maybe that was the whole point of this, that they knew this report was coming. They knew that Matt Gaetz was going to have to leave Congress. So Trump goes ahead and and names him as Attorney General, giving him a reason to leave Congress besides this report. And when the report comes out, Trump will actually nominate the person he really wants to be Attorney General. Other people have said, no, you're totally misunderstanding this. This is typical Donald Trump without the guardrails. Matt Gaetz is somebody who cares about, you know, his private life. This is somebody who has sworn he will go after Donald Trump's enemies, and he's very loyal to Donald Trump, and that's exactly what he intended.
So is Gaetz likely to get Senate confirmation, or if this report does come out, or if it's leaked, would it be used as ammunition to oppose that Senate confirmation?
No doubt about the second part of that. Of course it would. But so here's the other crazy thing. And again, this is a reminder of it's never a dull day in Washington when Donald Trump is involved. Some people are speculating, and these are people who know Trump well, that what Trump might be doing is putting Gaetz forward as sort of a litmus test, sort of a test of loyalty from people. Because already we have heard some senators like Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Susan Collins from Maine, both Republicans, express absolute shock and horror at this nomination. So they probably wouldn't vote to confirm. It may well be that Donald Trump is simply taking notes on this. It's like, okay, if he does the absolute craziest, most insane thing possible, who's going to stand by him despite this? Because, you know, Elon Musk is already all over his platform X talking about what a great choice this is. And, you know, Musk is obviously very loyal to Trump. So the answer, Margie, is no one knows. I mean, it will take, the Republicans are going to have a 3-seat majority plus J.D. Vance is president of the Senate, serving as vice president. So they could afford to lose 3 senators and still confirm him. It's very questionable at this point whether that will happen. It's questionable whether it'll get to that point. You know, it makes things like Tulsi Gabbard being nominated as head of the CIA sort of secondary. That's no longer front page news.
So, who else has Trump picked? Let's get into it. There's South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. She's been selected as Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. Stephen Miller is expected to be Trump's Deputy Chief of Staff. Tom Homan, Trump's former acting ICE director, is his pick for Border Czar. Pete Hegseth, a former Fox News host and veteran of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, is Trump's choice to lead the Defense Department. His national security advisor is expected to be Representative Mike Waltz, and Representative Lee Zeldin is expected to be his EPA administrator. Has Trump learned since his last term in office? News Nation's Blake Berman gave us an overall breakdown of Trump's picks last week.
Well, he was in the first Trump administration, and that's one of the interesting things when you consider Donald Trump and the presidency and who he's surrounding himself and what might he do, what might not he do, all the intrigue, right? Donald Trump's already been president of the United States, so he's given us a pretty good roadmap of who he surrounds himself with, how he thinks, the kind of decisions he makes, so on and so forth. And, you know, Ratcliffe, former congressman, was at one point the director of national intelligence, and now Trump's nomination to lead the CIA. There probably won't be little to no resistance there, I would think, from Senate Republicans. And it's interesting to see where Trump has gone, because the first batch of selections, or the first few days here, have been on the national security front for the most part, right? Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, CIA, Director of National Intelligence, the National Security Advisor, Michael Waltz. So that's where Donald Trump has made his first selections. There's still lots of big ones to go. I mean, the economic team has yet to be built out or announced, and then many other high-profile cabinet positions as well.
You kind of touched on it about loyalty, and that leads me to Matt Gaetz here, Attorney General. This has a lot of eyebrows raised. Why do you think he made this selection? Is there something more to it, or does he just want that loyalty?
So let's separate the two for a second. Take Matt Gaetz out of the equation, and let's talk about quote-unquote loyalty. Every president who wins the presidency surrounds themselves with loyalists, right? Like, it's their cabinet. Whether you like that Donald Trump won or not, whether you like that Barack Obama won or not, or Joe Biden won or not, they surround themselves with folks who think like them, who will carry out the agenda that they want to be carried carried out. And if you think that's a great thing at the time, you go, rah, rah, yay, that's a great thing. And if you think that's an awful thing at the time, you say, oh, my gosh, how about that selection, right? So it's just, you know, this narrative and this conversation about loyalists, I would just note, that's what presidents do. They fill out their cabinet, by and large, with folks who think like them and who are from their party. I mean, you know, Kamala Harris, when she was running, you know, made this pitch, I'm going to put a Republican in the cabinet. And think about all the headlines that garnered. It garnered headlines because it would have been unusual, right? So this concept of loyalty is not an unusual thing, whether you love Donald Trump or whether you hate Donald Trump. So that's on loyalty. On Matt Gaetz, I mean, look, one of the questions going forward is, will he be able to be Senate confirmed? Senator, Republicans right now have 52 seats. The Pennsylvania seat, Dave McCormick, who leads right now, it's going to a recount in that state. It looks really good for him. He was at orientation, though it's not official at this point in time. I guess really nothing's official until they all get sworn in on January 3rd. But for Gaetz, you know, will he be able to withstand a Senate confirmation? It would be an absolute circus if it happens. And there's already some Senate Republicans who have voiced skepticism, to put it mildly, at what that would look like.
Could Trump be throwing him out there as kind of a sacrificial lamb to take attention away, in hopes that maybe all the focus will be on Matt Gaetz and then all his other picks can slide through unnoticed?
You know, I had John Spicer on my show last night, the Hill on News Nation, which is 5 o'clock your time. You guys know Sean. He was the first press secretary for Donald Trump. He's a News Nation contributor as well. And Sean said to me last night, Pete Hegseth for Department of Defense, right? If you think that caught you by surprise, Sean said, quote unquote, buckle up. And so I don't think this is the beginning of the end for lightning rod or controversial picks. Donald Trump, I believe, has made like 9 out of the 25 cabinet selections, or somewhere in that number. Somewhere in that area. He's got a long way to go, and this very well could just be the beginning.
Trump won the White House in decisive fashion, and Republicans followed suit by gaining control of the House and the Senate. But it's important to remember that full control isn't always what it seems. For example, in 2020, when Democrats won the House, the Senate, and the White House, it still wasn't easy getting their agenda and bills through Congress, thanks to slim majorities and holdouts from within their own party. Gaetz and Kennedy, along with Tulsi Gabbard, Trump's pick to be Director of National Intelligence, and Fox News host Pete Hegseth, will likely enjoy no Democratic support at all, according to an ABC News report that added that with Republicans winning a maximum of 53 Senate seats this month, their margin for error is pretty small. And several Republicans have already sounded skeptical notes about some of Trump's choices. With only a 3-seat lead in the Senate and a slim majority in the House as well, it could be tough for Trump to really do what he wants to do. And Trump, even his supporters will say, can still be a bit of a wild card sometimes. He could be playing chess with the off-the-wall nominations like RFK and Gaetz, knowing that they'll go down in defeat. But that defeat could bring him a victory he secretly wants, like a second-choice pick who's also controversial, but slightly less so. So maybe he really is playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers. Or maybe he's not. No matter what Trump or anyone else is playing, stick with us here at On Deadline, and we'll be sure to give you updates about their every move. This show is produced by Joe Heedy, Christy Strouser, and by me. I'm Lauren Barry, and I want to say thanks for listening to On Deadline, Odyssey's serving of a top news story just for you. Subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts to stay informed.